Welcome, colleagues, and thank you for joining this Sparks podcast. We've curated case studies from a range of different Scottish tertiary institutions to share practice and ideas with you about how you can use two key Sparks resources. So the first of those is the Student Learning Experience Model, and the second is Scotland's Ambitions for Student Partnership, which is the focus of today's conversation. So it's therefore my great pleasure to be joined by Pamela Calabrese from Edinburgh Napier University. And can I pass over to you, Pamela, to introduce yourself further, please?
Yes, you certainly can. Delighted to be here. Thanks for having me, Katrina. So I am Head of Student Engagement at Edinburgh Napier. I'm based in our Department of Learning and Teaching Enhancement, DLTE for short. And I have a strategic leadership role for student partnership at the university, work very closely with our Students Association, ENSA. I also lead on personal development tutoring and academic skills at Edinburgh Napier. So those are my other kind of areas of interest.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And I should introduce myself as well. So my name is Katrina Bell, and I'm working with Sparks on a particular project around staff development and the use of the two models that we've just mentioned. So fantastic. I'm looking forward to our conversation this morning, Pamela. And I was going to ask if you could maybe just start us off with a 1 minute overview of how you've used the partnership ambitions.
Yes, no problem. So the introduction section to the partnership ambition, the context and uses part, provides two examples of how the partnership ambition might be used. So a high level evaluation of partnership activities and taking a specific feature and or a group of indicators and exploring those in detail against institutional practice. The other point to note is the statement in the document that Sparks intends to work with the sector to explore how the ambition interacts with student partnership agreements, SPAs. Now, when the resource was published, we at Edinburgh Napier and with our Students Association ENSA, we were in the midst of developing our new SPA. And we'd made quite a lot of progress actually in growing our institutional partnership culture. So I proposed conducting this high-level mapping exercise, and that was to help us identify where we needed to focus our efforts, looking at our activities across the features and the indicators and identifying that positive practice and areas for development. And the intention was that this would provide the evidence to underpin our SPA activities.
Wonderful. So really interesting starting point there, linking really closely with your SPA development. So we're going to dive into that in a little bit more detail over the next few minutes. But I wanted to maybe go back a step, if you don't mind, and just ask, what were your initial reflections when you first engaged with the partnership ambition?
Okay, so I think it's fair to say I was a little sceptical about the usefulness of the resource. So while myself and colleagues in our Students Association really appreciated, and indeed the university really appreciated that enhancement focus of the partnership ambition. And I think that the sense of the impetus that this would give to us and to the sector to strive to do better, it came in at a time of, you know, significant change, as colleagues who are listening will know, in relation to quality enhancement in the sector. External review guidance hadn't yet been published, so the review method wasn't clear. And I think, among other things, at the time, I particularly remember discussion about the lead student role.
Okay.
And the sense that that might require an unrealistic commitment of time and effort from sabbaticals. We're sort of grappling with that notion. I think the other thing that struck me was that this represented the potential for another required mapping exercise, which brought to mind for me mapping to the UK Quality Code, which for everyone who's done that, they'll recognise the huge undertaking that that is. So I would say there was a tension there between ambition and pragmatism.
Grand. Well, no, thanks for your honest reflections there, and I'm sure other colleagues may well resonate that. But moving onwards, what helped you see the potential within the partnership ambition?
So in a nutshell, it was getting started with it. And the catalyst for us, as I've touched on, the student partnership agreement, and we were at a bit of an impasse with that. So it had started to feel less of a forward-looking document and more retrospective. So it was useful from the perspective of supporting a reflection and reporting on partnership activities at the end of the year. But I was feeling it was starting to get a little less useful in terms of prioritization. So when I engaged with the partnership ambition and saw the features and indicators within that, I really recognized it as a tool to help us assess partnership and support that strategic planning that I maybe felt was lacking a wee bit. And I think the other thing is that when I was looking at the indicators, they felt right. Okay. So it really felt that those would help identify work happening under each feature, what had been working well and where we could push ourselves to do more.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so how did you get started?
So I think having that guidance within the document, within the resource is really important. And that was really important for me. And I took the features and the indicators and I created a mapping document. So getting down to the nitty gritty of it. So I had three columns in my document. I had the suggested evidence, which was the indicators. I had the next column was activity at Edinburgh and Napier and at ENSA, the Students Association. And then I had possible areas for further development. So the things that I felt were the gaps and that were emerging as areas we needed to work on. So I started detailing the work that we were doing and thinking about where we could do more. I took some of the indicators to departmental meetings. That was, my own colleagues within the university, and we had some of the student consultants that work with me participating in that. So we had students and workshopped those indicators in small groups. And then I took that together with the input I put into our strategic partnership group and worked with colleagues in the Students Association to identify the indicators where we felt students would feel most able to engage. And we took those to rep forums and to the Student Council for some discussion.
Nice. That's really nice. And so you're absolutely modelling student partnership, working with ENSA all the way through this and co-creating as you went.
Really
that's
important.
That's really interesting. Thank you. And were there any particular reasons you chose that approach, or is that the way you always work?
That is really the way we do always work, sort of in terms of collaboration around partnership. I think probably also important to touch on kind of why I decided just to make that start independently, rather than from the get-go having the, you know, all heads together. So I think I felt as institutional lead for student partnership, I have that oversight of activities across the piece. And so it made sense for me to start putting things down on paper.
Okay.
And then of course I knew there would be some gaps there. There's a particular section about the Students' Union, Students' Association, particularly. Well, you know, I can give my perspective of that, but that needs to come from colleagues in the Students' Association. So it was really important then to collaborate with the colleagues that are directly involved in the activities that are included or, you know, would align with those indicators. So I'm proud of the progress we've made with it, but we've made with partnership particularly.
Yeah.
But felt there was more to do. And I think working through it in this way is helping to draw things out in quite a collaborative way.
Okay, that's really good to hear. And where have you got to in your journey with it so far?
Okay, so we have, I mentioned that this has gone to our student rep forums, which are organised and led by the Students Association and also to Student Council. So they've input on that, and we've got to a point where we've worked through the document and colour coded. We did that collaboratively with ENSA. So we've colour coded, and that means we've got this kind of at a glance sense of where we feel we both are positioned against the indicators under those eight features. And we've now shared with some key colleagues for further consideration and we're formulating plans, it's safe to say. And I think it's really now about confirming the priority areas of work that we've identified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your colour coding is a sort of red, amber, green?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you've got your traffic lights, so you know what your priorities lights are. Okay. Great stuff. And any insights on what worked and what didn't work because you've gone through this process?
I think, as I said, that desk-based initial mapping, sort of putting something down on paper for others to get their teeth into. Certainly from the colleague's perspective, we've not done that actually with the student consultation, and then having that consultation collaboration, and that helps with the sense of shared ownership, which I think was another thing I felt had maybe started to get lost a wee bit with the student partnership ambition. So there's something that's been quite kind of invigorating about bringing people in and getting others involved. Of course, we know that that's what partnership's all about, isn't it? And I think that's been particularly useful in terms of identifying the possible actions. It comes back to that point about pragmatism, because, you know, you need people to be saying what is within the realms of possibility.
Yeah.
So, and I think with students, what I would say is we feel it's been important to consider quite carefully what we're asking them to contribute.
Okay.
Some of the indicators, it would be difficult for students, for all students, to engage with fully. So I think it just needs to feel relevant to them, so that it's authentic, and then they know that their input is informing action. So breaking it down to tailor it to the audience has been important. Keeping it in manageable chunks, mm-hmm. you know, at a workshop, sharing every feature and every indicator is a lot, you know.
Right.
Embedding student voice, I think, is really important. And as I've said, giving those prompts, but otherwise leaving it quite open. So the Mentimeter approach that we've used in my colleague in ENSA has used with the rep forums and the student council has been really useful, in the sense that it's easy to engage with, and, you know, it's prompts, but it's quite open.
Okay.
So you can say what you want on it, really.
Okay.
And then I was just going to say that some duplication. I think that's the bit that we need to kind of address going forward. So we can see that there are actions emerging from different indicators under different features.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but
no,
I was interested in the Mentimeter activity you mentioned. Could you give us a little bit more detail about how your colleagues have done that?
Yeah, so the Mentimeter is also to facilitate online participation. So our student councils and rep forums are hybrid events.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that everyone, no matter where you are, you can chip in and you can get involved. So the Mentimeter is quite a straightforward one, and it's just been able to kind of hone in on specific areas within the partnership ambition and just kind of put those out there and say, you know, how do you relate to this? What does this look like for you? And then be quite open in terms of the responses back. So that seems to have worked really well.
Great. Useful, practical tip. Yeah.
And as I say, I think that's where it's the two things, right? It's the institutional, and I include a students association in that combined. It's that knowledge combined with the input from those that are experiencing partnership on the ground.
Yes, and you mentioned already tailoring it to your target audience, breaking it into manageable chunks. And I also really like what you said a little bit earlier about it was been invigorating, but you've also had to be pragmatic, so it's getting those balances right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pamela. That's fantastic practice that you've shared with us and the rest of the tertiary sector, so I'm sure colleagues will draw from that. I know you've got plans for where you're going next with it, and we're going to touch on those in another podcast, but was there anything else you wanted to just mention before we close this one?
So I think probably just where we see this maybe informing the tertiary quality enhancement review. So ours is in January, our visit's in January 2026. So I think it's the fact that we know that visit's going to be exploring partnership. Of course it is.
Okay.
And partnership approaches. So obviously that's been a motivating factor as well. You know, we want to show that we're engaging with these new sector resources and that we can speak to that. But, you know, these reviews are supportive. They do encourage institutions to identify areas that they want to explore in more depth. And so I think it presents an opportunity really to be able to tell the story and use to use this as a tool to support that sharing of reflection and as I say, the journey that you've been on in partnership. So, but more on that.
More on that, in
more on that as we get closer.
No, that's brilliant. That's a teaser for others to tune in to part two. But thank you, because that direct link with the Tertiary Quality Enhancement Framework and the TQER visits that are coming up is so critical. So we will be talking about that more in the next episode. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time and your generosity in sharing your practice, Pamela. And congratulations to you and your colleagues at Edinburgh Napier University for what you've achieved with it so far. So thanks very much. And we will tune out for now.
Thank you, Katuna. Thanks.